attacking purposeful football all the time. Now we're going to have backs against the wall and we're going to fight, and we're going to fight hard. You've got to show me all the guts and all the determination you've got in your body. You've got to inspire me.
A marvellous kick. That's as good as you'll ever see. And puts player back in front. From inside the centre square, Boyce kicked the goal. Boyce kicked the goal from inside the centre.
Hey Pack, welcome to 2024. This is Danny Boyd, a podcast about the most wonderful, the most perfect, just the greatest football club in the known universe and including all multiverses. That is the Footscray Football Club, trading as Western Bulldogs. I'm Danny McGinlay. Tom Boyd is with me.
It does feel like there's quite a few things coming together at this time of year, Danny, that do seem like very positive stories for the Western Bulldogs. But having said that, that's what everyone's saying. But for the most part, almost every club is sitting here today going, oh, we might be all right this year.
Yeah, but it's a very magical time of year. No one's lost a game. Everyone thinks they can do quite well. But I've got to say, I've watched the practice games that we had against Hawthorn. I'm seeing our new recruits, and I'm just going to say it right now to the listeners, lids off.
The lids off.
Lids off. Flag favourites we are. We are so good at the moment.
We better make our actual predictions of the season, I would say, towards the end of the show, because that's how you bury the lead and get people to listen longer.
That's called sizzle. In commercial radio terms. Sizzle.
But I do feel like we do have, just by way of timing, quite a few things going on. We've got the developments just sort of half finished. I was ran past there the other day. That top function room is going to be amazing.
Really? Where is that?
That's sort of above where the gym used to be.
No, you don't know where the gym is. Where's the gym?
So when you used to go to the cafe and then further towards Barclay Street was where the gym used to be.
General public weren't allowed.
The private part. Yeah. And then above that, which is new because that whole building is new, the players have relocated even further towards Barclay Street and whatever that other street is that comes off the Geelong Road.
Yeah.
That is like the new section where they actually do the training at the moment, I think. But there is this function room where it is going to be a fantastic place to actually watch the game of football at Witten Oval, watch them train, whatever else they're going to host there. It's going to be great.
And I believe you can actually just book functions there as well.
I'm sure, yeah. Well, you've got to raise some money somehow.
So if you want to get married at Witten Oval, you can do it now.
Yeah. I'm sure there were some fans over the years that considered it. It wasn't on my wife's shortlist, admittedly, but we didn't have a long list of places we wanted to get married.
Did you ever see that Simpsons episode where Homer divorced Marge out of the blue just so he could marry her properly?
No, I don't recall it.
I'm going to do that to my wife.
Yeah, that'd be great. I feel like we've spoken about this on the pod before. Like, it would be a both tragic and amazing experience to have a football-themed wedding. Tragic being the first word that I'd use.
But yeah, that's the difference between you as a player and me as a fan. That sounds magical.
Yeah. I don't know about whether the wives of the world would think it's the same thing.
I can marry someone else. If you pay enough on the Patreon, I'll marry you.
I think, though, that you add the development into the mix because at this time of year, everyone else is going, great, here's our leadership group. And, geez, our leadership group looks good, as always.
Okay, let's go into that right now. I believe Marcus Bontempelli's the captain.
Well, I was just doing some research because I don't obviously read the propaganda that all the clubs put out at this time of year because it's a great place to either get motivated or, sort of just work out it's all fluff and rubbish.
It is all fluff and rubbish, and yet as a fan, when you're this footy starved, now that AFLW is at the end of the year, we've not had footy for, 4 months, and any little bit of information's like methadone for me. I'm just drip feeding like, oh, what else have we got? Oh, there's a cheap membership I could get. I've already got my membership, but that's exciting.
The text came through like 40 minutes ago about the six games, $66, whatever. Which, speaking of, whilst, I'm a life member of the club. You're a member of the club. We're both on board for the year. I actually have two memberships they send me every single year, which is very exciting.
How do you get two?
I don't know. I think that's how the life membership works. They send me two.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, I got both my kids. I've got three, really.
Yeah, we're on board. So the reason why it's so good for all of these good stories is, as much as things will undoubtedly never be perfect at our great club, it's very rare for any club to have any perfect moments. It is still worthwhile, obviously, getting on board and supporting the club as much as you can. Membership's a great way to do it. It forces you to go to the games. It forces you to connect with all the other members and fans. And as many of you people listening to this podcast undoubtedly are already members. If you're not, sign up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, well, even if you don't go to the games, it just helps the club look good. Like, yes, to sponsors. Like, you can't, I can't go down the field and kick the goal. You've already done that enough for us. Whereas
I hope so.
us muggles, us civilians, all we can do is add our numbers to the membership tally, and then we get more sponsors, maybe more grants, maybe better airtime on 7 and KO. It's literally the best thing you can do for the club. So buy a membership. Do it.
So you've got the leadership group coming out, and you know Marcus has come with some just pearls of wisdom this year.
Oh, yeah.
So unlike other years, Marcus has said, we want to start games, comma, season well.
So we're going to start, we're going to play well in games and in the whole season.
I mean, it sounds like a revolutionary idea to me, Daniel.
Compared to other Bulldogs years, I mean, we've never tried it, so.
It is such a, like, again, this is a real, so there's only two stories going on at the moment, two types of stories. There's one, there's players who've just been bumped into oblivion. Mm-hmm. There's that story.
Yep.
And then there's every club being like, this year is our year. Which, you know, again, we've got a development to think of. We've got the start of the year. We've got the leadership group. We've just absolutely pumped Hawthorn in 11 straight games throughout the preseason.
We've played them every day since the dawn of time.
Why is that? Well, I don't understand.
How they do the fixture. Yeah. And I don't even know what we're playing anymore. Like, when this will date how old I am. It was the Foster's Cup when I was growing. And then it was the Ansett Cup, Wizard Cup, and I believe NAB. We won the NAB.
JLT. Did we win the Wizard or the NAB?
I think we won NAB. I'll check the DVD.
The Wizard Home Loan Cup. I remember that. The fact they had home loan in there is revolutionary.
See, one day, Dogs fans, here we go. We'll have another. One day we're all going to watch NAB Cup final.
Which is like 2010.
And just like Bob Murphy was injured for 2016, Brad Johnson didn't play in that. And Daniel G and Syracuse had to lift the trophy.
We
don't win flags with our premiership. So I guess Bont has to get injured in finals.
Hang on.
That just occurred to me. If Bont gets injured, do you know who lifts the cup?
Libba.
How good.
Yeah.
How good. Libba lifting the cup.
I can't even stand for this level of blasphemy. We need Bont to lift the cup.
Totally. But just look, Easton Wood filled in for Bob. Gia filled in for Brad Johnson. Ellie Blackburn filled in for the treacherous Katie Brennan.
Got the 1954 one as well.
It was Charlie Sutton. I don't know who was injured there.
It is speaking of the Bont, there was, they do all of the preseason polls and the captain's voting and stuff, and he's just at the top of the top of the top for everyone, which, you know, again, it's like this is just another season that we get to marvel at the wonder that is Marcus Bontempelli. We should take every second of witnessing greatness that we get to, because he won't be around forever. As much as it sounds painful to say, and Danny wants him to get injured for the next premiership.
I'm just going with logic. I don't want him, injured round three.
I don't think logic is the word you were going with. Superstition, maybe.
Superstition, logical superstition. That's how I work. I'm a footy fan. So I don't want him injured round three, Bob Murphy style, but it has to happen. We don't win flags.
When do we play Hawthorn for the 12th time for the year?
Yeah.
Somehow. I just can't imagine, like, thinking back to my time in the league, if we played the same team technically three times, as in two trial games and then we went to Tasmania to play the same team. And also, no offence to – well, plenty of offence to
Hawthorn.
No, they finished in the bottom few of the last few years,
they
right?
They still beat us last year.
But it's such a weird way of trying to get a sort of litmus test as to where the teams are at.
Yeah, and their back line is all injured. Like, they had four little leaguers filling in.
Anyway, we did see some wonderful performances out of that first round. Yes. I ran into young Riley West very briefly the other day. He was walking his dog, and I was actually talking to another ex-Bulldogs footballer at the same time. So it was a bit of a strange three-way conversation going on.
The listeners should know that if you go to the Albert Park, Port Melbourne area, you don't see footballers walking around where us normies live. By the way, I saw Bont on my street about November last year, and I was running for a tram about to go to a gig.
And you skipped the tram and was late.
I was running late, but genuinely, I just was like, there's Bont.
Well, like he does child. Live on your side of town, you know.
He does. Yeah, but anyway, that's where all the footballers just conjugate around the Albert Park, Port Melbourne area. So you could be walking your dog and suddenly you're having a chat to Riley West or this other who was it? Who was the other Bulldogs footballer?
Wallace, Mitch. Mitch Wallace. And Riley's just turned into a small forward juggernaut in the last little bit. I must say, I said to people ask me about Dogs players all the time. And to be honest, I don't know that much more than most people, except for the fact that I can still talk to a few people at the club and probably get the unfiltered version of, hey, this guy's actually really good. Like Sanders is everyone saying, hey, he's actually really, really good. And obvious.
We have to do a whole segment on Riley Sanders. We will touch on.
But like Riley West, from my experience and having seen him sort of come through training and play, like he has the libber knack of being a footballer's footballer.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like where he doesn't look like Bond.
No, he doesn't.
Libba doesn't look like Bond. No, it looks like Bond, to be honest. But there's a lot of players who you look at and you're like, oh, that is a super skilled, super athlete. I can see why. I understand why they're good. But then if you walked past Riley or Libba in the dog park, as you said before, you wouldn't go, geez, AFL footballer.
That's right.
Yeah. But when you watch Riley around the contest, like the way he bounces up and down like a pinball off the ground and you know, through tackles and getting contested footy and last week kicking three goals, you see why he was a good player in juniors. And I think he's going to be a really, really good player in the senior footy. I just think he needs to get a chance in a position where he can play consistent footy.
Yeah, he does seem to have, as much as it's the cliche, put on a fair bit of muscle. Like, he's just growing into his body. Like, he's become a man.
Well, I don't think, it's like there's a very big difference between Sam Darcy growing into his body and Riley West growing into his body.
It'll take Sam Darcy a while.
Yeah, well, also, it's like Sam has got a lot of height to fill. Whereas Riley's not a big guy, but he's looks like, and you know, there's a few players who look like they put on a little bit of size. And the thing that people probably don't understand is that usually, this is a usually statement, it's not always, usually, at least in my experience, the size and shape of the players, if there's like a theme, like they're all stronger or they're all better runners or whatever, that comes from the coach. Mm-hmm. And then the head of sports science or whatever takes what the coach is asking for and brings up the program and puts it into life. And then the physio medicos do their job as well. But in some cases, if you have a really strong HSC or head of sports science or whatever they call them, head of high performance, they name them everything except for what they probably are. And like, say, I think it was Burgess who was at Port Adelaide. He was like, we are long distance runners.
Okay.
And they might have a theme to sort of the overall structure of the program. But it looks like a few of the Dogs boys have put on a little bit of size.
Yeah. What was the vibe of our sports science in when you were there, glory years 2016?
We didn't really care about it. We were just like football, which was evident of the times, you know. Well, we were going because we were going well, and I think Luke was in that moment of time when he was like, I need to teach these guys to play Luke Beveridge football and Western Bulldogs
chaos
football.
Ball.
Which, yeah, exactly. And we didn't have time to do both because you might think that, you know, training 40, 50 hours a week is, you know, enough time to learn anything. It's not. Because so many of the activities like, you know, game planning and structure and playing with your teammates requires you all to be on the ground at the same time, which you can only get limited opportunities to do. So
why is that?
Well, because you don't train nonstop all the time. And you can't, they won't let you run out there and train from 8:30 or 8 a.m. in the morning till 12 and do 15 Ks just of match sim all through preseason because the risk of injury is too high.
Wow.
And then they want to work on the segments of the game. So some things are like you need to work on your stoppage craft or you need to work on handball games because that's a specific stimulus that the game provides that you can't get equally to everyone in a match simulation.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yep.
So if Tom Liberatore and I did the same amount of match simulation, our GPS data would look completely different.
Yes.
Yep. And I would get almost zero handball game stuff when I was playing because I was playing as a key forward or I was playing as a ruck and I was trying to help out a bit. But if I do it in a isolated program, I'll do 25 minutes of handball games and I'll hate every second of it.
Was that your least favorite of the drills?
Yeah. I mean, depended. Like some pre-seasons we used to do. So like a typical handball game when you're growing up in the juniors is like from us to say 15 meters away and it's all in and, you know, in close and tight and sharp and all that sort of stuff. We used to do them 75 meters long.
What?
So
handball for 75 metres.
You can't do anything with handball. You've got to get it in a ring at one end or a ring at the other, depending on which way you're going as a team.
Yeah.
And it's 6-on-6.
Oh, so it's a team doing that. I thought just individually you had to sort of belt it polyfarmer.
Think about like handball game being like playing football, but only with handball.
Yeah, okay.
And it's
and tackles and everything?
Yep, tackles. And they'd often give what they'd call, like, say, like the rat or the mole, which would be able to go offense both ways. So it'd be 7-on-6 against defense all the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, okay.
And like, I was running against Liam Pickett, and like, I saw Stewie Cramery on the weekend. Like, he was horrible to train against because he was fit as.
Oh, right.
Mitch Wallace, Libber, Bond. Like, and I'm just like tongue out, you know, just dying. Chasing these little fellas running around. But again, all of the training program comes back to what Bevo is trying to accomplish as a coach, because that's what his job is, being the head coach. And if there's like a theme of the team in their size, shape or running style or anything, that's usually coming from the fact that he wanted to make a shift.
Now, could you, by watching, if you were at the Dogs Hawks game, you know, the 16 times we've played them in the last week,
yep.
Would you be able to try and – would you have an educated guess on what Bevo's game plan is, or would you not even speculate because you're not in the room with him?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, it depends on a couple of things. One, if they're playing all of their first team players in one place. And when we were talking through it on the Patreon last week, there were sort of clumps of players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the first time we played Hawthorn, we played them twice in a day, and it seemed like half our seniors played their seniors, and yep. then the other half of our seniors played their VFL.
Yeah.
And we won both.
Yeah, but it was like that they were playing all of the key, like all of the forward line together. But and then half of the midfielders and not the backs.
This is the problem with Bevo. As if I can tell who's a forward, who's a back at any given moment.
Point. That's a good point. But I would say, arguably, that if I watched those two games, which I didn't because it was in the middle of a work day, pretty sure from my memory.
You get it. People, he's got a job.
And and also watch, say, like the you would see. So usually, say, the Mick Maltas here, when they just blocked on the mark all the time. Mm-hmm. That would have come out in preseason. Or, you know, us just blindly switching the ball, that stuff will come out. But given that Bevo's been there for like 10 years now or whatever the number is, most of the things will be small changes. So it'll be personnel changes as to where people are playing. Say Riley playing quite a bit of time forward.
Yeah, I've got to pull you up there. That's the second time you do that. We can't just call him Riley.
Westy?
Yeah, Westy.
Why?
Because Riley Sanders.
Okay. We're going to call him Sanders.
He's going to be a first name player within a few... Well, I don't know, because there's Riley. So, anyway, just wait. Play on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, as long as we both know, it's okay.
What? So, is it, this is official Danny Boyd policy. Riley is Westy. And what's Sanders? Colonel.
Colonel. Colonel's good.
Is it just the Colonel or Colonel's Colonel? Good. And because then nicknames evolve and it becomes Colonel Mustard and then just Mustard and then Keynes.
Yep. Well, just stick with Colonel for now.
All right.
Because you could also go the other way. You could call him Colonel and then he ends up being Corn.
Colonel. Oh, yeah. Oh, go on the other spin.
And then Cobb. Cobber.
Cobbo.
But, I call him Riley, so I don't.
Yeah, and you call Westy Riley.
I call Riley Westy. Westy Riley.
See, this is what we. This
You're
is
confusing
we
the
it.
Situation.
No, sure, Riley Sanders is by having the same name.
No, well, Riley was there first, and then Colonel was
which Riley?
Corn on the Cobb was there second. So it'd be like a personnel shift that'll happen, and it'll be obvious. So like JJ's playing forward. Let's use someone else.
Okay,
name's not ambiguous. How many other JJ's are there? Or it'll be, you know, their split of time is a bit different. Like Rory's playing an extra 25% time in the ruck or something like that. Typically, that's what comes out in preseason. And then in the very early stages of the year, you'll see some of the plans that they're trying to do. So I've explained before on this podcast, if you see style, so style being like we're a contested football team, or these are the like values that we play by, mm-hmm. which the Bulldogs was always we attack all the time. We play defense from in front. All those sorts of things.
And we've still got that style.
Some of it. Yeah, some of it. It has changed over the years, no doubt. But then the plans are we're going to play an extra up at the stoppage this week, or we're going to play naughty swingman back or stuff like that. So more like specific moves that you make, and then they can change throughout the game, but the style should never change. So the plan stuff won't happen in preseason because Bevo won't want to keep his powder dry with regards to like some of the things he wants to do.
So and that'll come out round one against the D's.
Yeah, I presume so. I mean, again, like it's like, you know, it's all best intentions with your plans up until someone punches you in the face, and then they all just end up going out the window anyway in some way, shape or form. And it takes till, for most teams, it takes at least three or four rounds to really hum across the board. And teams will win by fact that the opposition are inconsistent and have had team changes and they don't know their identity and all that stuff. There's going to be seven or eight teams every year who walk into the year not knowing who they are. And we are probably one of them this year, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. Why wouldn't we know each other? We have Bevo's been there 10 years.
Know what we are as a team.
How good we are?
Or? Well, what's the level of certainty that you know where we're going to land on the ladder?
Oh, mate. Well, it was, yeah, as I was saying about 2 weeks ago, we could finish anywhere from 1st to 18th.
Yeah.
But ever since I saw us beat Hawthorn 78 times, lids off.
Yeah, well, I would say more like we could finish anywhere from like 4th to 12th.
4th? Nah, go higher, mate.
Okay. Well, regardless, there are teams out there that you're probably going, like, it doesn't, you're not sitting here thinking that Brisbane are going to miss the 8th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? You're not sitting here thinking that Collingwood are going to miss the 8,
yes,
likely speaking. And you're not sitting here thinking West Coast is going to make the 8.
I'm not.
We're very heavily, I would say, in the midst of, we could have a season we look back and go, hey, we made the most of it and had a really good run and who knows what happens come September. Or we could be like, geez, we thought we were going to be okay and it didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's probably a lot more accurate. I prefer having the lid off, to be honest. That's just more fun. Let me ask you this. just on round one, where we play the D's on St. Patrick's Day, Sunday. They play the week before in that round zero nonsense.
Oh, it's rubbish.
What?
It's just a ploy for the AFL to get more of the preseason so they can have a longer season.
Oh, no, it's reaction to NRL playing in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because we're playing, if you notice, the round zero games are in Brisbane and Sydney. When there's no NRL this weekend because the other teams are coming back from Vegas. This is a way to just make sure AFL's dominating the sports media for one more week.
I could all but guarantee that the AFL spends a lot of time watching the NFL, like as in at the commissioner level and the CEO level, and they're creeping their schedule all the time.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, because an extra game on the calendar is worth tens and tens of millions of dollars.
So what's so the best thing that worked for the NFL this year was having Taylor Swift be dating a member of the Super Bowl winning team. Who does a Bulldogs player need to be dating to boost our media spotlight style? Who's Australia's Taylor Swift? Who's going to start?
Margot
Robbie. That's a good one. I mean, she's married. Yeah, but you know, hey, come on. I don't know who she's married to. I'm sure he's lovely, but he's no Bond.
Well, it doesn't have to be a like relationship thing. They could just be like if Chrissy Hemsworth turns up a few times.
That's good.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Imagine Hemsworth starts dating one of our players.
Oh, now that'd talking. Make some headlines.
Now headlines. We're talking. Yeah. All right, Hemsworth, take one for the team. Literally.
The other thing that happened really, like the NFL have got this like very good grasp on these games mean something. Every game throughout the year means something rather than we're probably a little bit more diluted. Like there are a few games of the year you go, it's Gold Coast Hawthorn on a Sunday afternoon. There's probably a few more of them. And sure, that happens in the NFL too, but they only have 17 games. We got 23. They've got 32 teams. We've only got 18.
Yeah.
So we're sort of not quite apples for apples, but you can all but guarantee the AFL's gone. We know what it's worth for us to get one more game.
Yeah.
And for the salaries of the players, it's 5%. And for the AFL, it's 20%. So I'm sure it'll happen. I'm sure it'll happen with this 19th team coming in. That'll play a bit of havoc with the schedule as well.
Yeah. But the question I was going to ask is, will Melbourne playing the week before
help them or hurt them?
Yes.
It'll help them, yeah.
Damn it.
Well, unless they get injured. Like, there's two schools of thought, I suppose. There's a freshness factor in round one in terms of everyone's as fresh as they'll be. Now, in my experience, there's also like a fatigue factor.
Because it's just pre-season.
It's just so hard. No matter how hard you try in preseason, AFL football round one is about 25% harder.
Yeah.
Because it's just everyone's trying.
Than us beating Hawthorn Oz kickers.
Exactly. And so there's that bit. So potentially Melbourne could be in that like, you know, dip stage post that first game. It's unlikely, I'd say.
Well, some of them will be lacking in some serotonin, according to the headlines.
Well, they could also lose and be flat as and have come off we just had such a rough preseason.
Yes.
And then now we're getting beaten round one. Like, the issue with what Melbourne, we don't have to go into this specifically, but the issues that Melbourne's got going on is that Melbourne has a lot of issues going on.
Yes.
And that's what, so then, you know, people will pile on so quickly, and if they lose, it'll be because of what's happened and so on and so forth. And they'll never get any space to go, we're just doing our thing and playing games and winning games of football. That's just unfortunately what happens in.
So do we want the Swans to beat them so they're, galvanise them?
Nah, probably not. I think whatever galvanising is going to happen has already happened for the most part.
Right, go Swans.
Yeah. But then the other thing is, there's the other side of the fatigue factor and the sort of like freshness factor is the erratic factor. Like round one is usually the most erratic game of football that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you're like, geez, that was a good clean game. Like there's about seven out in the full. Someone just booted it sideways and missed easy shots and handball to the opposition. And just you have those coach killer moments that always happens in round one.
I'm trying to think what my favourite round one for the Bulldogs would be. And it's got to be a toss-up between 2016, obviously, we beat Freo, who finished top of the ladder the year before. And, you know, we get a goal within 20 seconds, whatever.
I think I played that game.
You probably did. You were at the team then.
I might have. I did hit my shoulder that year. Can't remember.
And then...
No, I played.
I love 2017 with Cloak kicking a goal against Collingwood from 70. I know you didn't like that game. We've talked about that. On the pod.
Never been more tired.
And 2015, your first game where we beat West Coast out of the blue.
Yeah, keep to goal. Keep my first in the with like 10 minutes to go to put us in front, I think.
I do remember that.
Yep. And pointed to the crowd. And Bevo goes, Tom, maybe don't point to the crowd.
What? Why can't you point to the...
Teammates. Not a bad point by him, to be honest. But, you know, it was kind of my moment.
Yeah, no, as a performer, the crowd, we've paid money. Your teammates are getting paid.
This is going to sound so stupid, but one of the best round ones of my career was actually not at the Bulldogs, was at the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Giants beat the Swans round one in the Battle
of
the
Bridge. Were you in that game?
No, I didn't play.
Oh.
I was close. Josh Kelly was emergency and I just missed out, I think.
Yeah.
But that game was like, for a Giants game at the time, that was epic.
That was epic. Do you know, I won $50 on that game, not by gambling on it. I don't really gamble with, you know, any of the betting agencies. I was in Adelaide playing the Adelaide Fringe, doing a bunch of gigs. And that game was on, it was a twilight game, as I recall. And it finished at about 7. And everyone's going, oh, my God, the Giants. I was in a pub. Giants, what are that? And I go, I'm going to sing the song for everyone. And this guy went, if you actually know the words to the Giants song, I'll give you $50.
Oh, it's a big, big sound.
Oh, no, and true to his word, he gave me $50 cash. He just went, you're a loser.
Yeah. Well, yep, enjoy learning that for the rest of the year, which is a bit like that, to be honest. I think there's only three more wins for the year. One against the Dogs, one against Carlton, maybe a couple of others.
All right. Let's go to some more happier stories. Let's go through the new recruits we have.
Right. Let's do that.
So I
know all of them very well.
Yeah. We did this off air, listeners.
But I feel whilst you're looking that up, I think the last few years, like you think about it, is how many of the new recruits have we had to actually know?
Well, we always get, you know, four or five draftees.
Yeah, I know. But this is the point, is like the ones who have actually made their name for themselves had a name when they walked in, right? So we had Sam Darcy walk in and everyone knew who he was. We had Jamara come in and everyone knew who he was. We've had all the little fellas that we drafted, which haven't played, to be honest. Yep. And then we've had a couple of trades as well. So I feel like we know Sanders.
We do now, yeah.
Yeah, but pick six was the most talked about one that we had. We were talking about getting him for a couple of months beforehand. It was on the different
draft. I thought we were going for the guy that Hawthorn got at 5.
Yeah, we wanted a small forward for a second.
The wizard, they call him. And Sanders kicked his ass in all 108 games that we played against Hawthorn.
That's right, and, you know, it all really matters so far.
Well, do you know what's weird? Caleb Daniel is taller than the wizard.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd. Anyway, we've gone. Josh Bruce, Hayden Crozier, Mitch Hannon, Robbie McCone, Toby McLean, Tim O'Brien, Cody Rark, Rourke Smith, and Jordan Sweet. Some of those are absolutely devastating to read about. Friends of the show who we've had on. But let's talk about who's coming in. So this is it in alphabetical order. Lockie Bramble, an SSP from Hawthorn. Do you know anything about him?
Typically SSPs are like the last people picked.
Okay. And SSP just for the
I think it's a supplementary something pick.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's.
Like I don't know.
I think it's like a preseason draft.
I read it as supersized penis. So, you know, we don't want that.
Well, I think, you know, speaking of SSPs, which was our VFL captain, whose name is escaping me for whatever reason, Lockie Sullivan.
Yes.
Who was he was an SSP to Collingwood and just got picked up after three or four great, I mean, probably more. He's been at the Bulldogs at Footscray for years. So great that he got picked up.
Yeah.
And then his first session, Scott Penderwee's like goose-stepped him like five times in a row on camera. Man. It's like, there it is, mate. Welcome to Vegas.
Nick Caulfield, someone we traded from St Kilda, had a good game on the weekend, or definitely was involved in a few highlights.
The pre-season supplemental selection period. That's what it is.
All right, cool.
Jesus, they could come up with some different names.
Yeah.
Supplemental selection period. SSP. That's what it means.
It's, historians often speak of the supplemental.
Yeah.
I've even forgotten already. I've lost the will to
They're not getting a sponsor for that anytime soon, are they? what a
the NRMA SSP.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about Nick. But, you know, I think he was a high pick coming into the Saints, yes. 13 or something.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Saints are going to be good. They've just got Dalrymple. So yeah. If you know any Saints fans and, you know,
the Saints are going to be good is something that has been said, honestly, for the last 10 decades.
Yeah, yeah. And look, and some people genuinely want the Saints to win a flag.
Not me.
I remember the 2009 prelim, so... Jordan Croft has also come in. Now, obviously, Maddie's son.
And looks just like him.
Yeah?
Yep.
Big unit.
Big, lots of arm, lots of leg.
Because we had Scott Wind, people don't realise how big Matthew Croft was. But Matthew Croft, he's been on the board of the Bulldogs. I've seen him at games. And even now you see him and you go, that's right, you're enormous. But he was always next to like Luke Darcy and Scott Wine, so he looked average size.
We did have quite a few of those types of players in our history of the long-armed, long-legged.
Oh, yes.
And turned it like sort of grew into their bodies and became terrific footballers.
Peter Street, remember him?
I do actually remember him.
We got Joel Frazier, which is a great way to spell Frazier, Freijah. I assume that's Dutch or...
Well, I'm from just your thinking Frazier Garrick.
Yeah. Anyway, Joel, he was the number 45 draft pick, kicked 7 goals in one of his TAC Cup games, which is pretty good. That's good. Pretty much all I know about.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this is the whole thing. Like, we keep going through the list and we're obviously going to get to the main man himself at some stage.
We'll do him last. James Harms from the Ds did play in the 2021 grand final for the Dark Side. He is right now our least favourite Bulldogs player, but that's purely because we're immature and spiteful.
Mm.
But he did play very well in the 150 games we played against Hawthorn. And I have heard a lot of Demons fans are devastated he's gone to us. Like he had a real cult following over there.
Mm. Yeah, so the type of player who would, I suppose, like sort of that, you know, kind of like what I was saying about Riley West before, Riley. Is, you know, you're not looking at him going, oh, he should dominate. But when they play really well, because you can see effort, intensity and commitment and all those sorts of things, in and under, hard, like Harms will be the same. And again, like he might be our least favourite Bulldogs player now, but he plays one good game in round one and he moves up the ranks.
Hell yeah.
Well, I don't know any of these draftees. if they haven't played a game, well then, you know, and he plays a good one, he moves ahead.
I've actually never had a least favourite Bulldog before, but right now it's Harms.
Yeah, you made it up and the poor bugger. He's not coming on the pod.
No, I'll back it up. No, you can't beat us in a grand final. Expect me not to be angry about it. Aidan O'Driscoll was our number 55 draft pick. It's a great Irish name, so therefore he's definitely not my least favourite. He's a good Irish lad. What do we know about Aidan?
Nothing.
Cool. AOD. Yeah, you know me.
I honestly, like, I've got...
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
It's this time of year. I know I'm all as they get it. Like, but this is kind of the way it should be. You actually see, this is the difference between getting picked one or pick six even and the rest is that no one's judging you.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we don't know anything about them is exactly why we should give them time to develop. And when they're ready to be judged, they'll get played and then we'll all be ruthless bastards to them then.
Oh, yeah, you will be.
No,
yeah.
I won't be. But
hard-hitting people, shock jock Tom Boyd.
Most people would be.
We also got Lachlan Smith at number 47. We've got lots of Lockies. We've got a fair few Smiths.
Mm.
He'll fit in right well.
Yeah.
Excited. All right, now let's talk about him. I did Did I text you? So in the first time we played Hawthorn, the first out of 176 times we played them, it was Sam Darcy in the ruck at the start, and he tapped it down, and Riley Sanders, the Colonel, picked it up. And and his disposal, he only just hand passed it, but he hand passed it with such vision, and that I texted a few people, and yeah, you would have been one of them. I just said, I'm calling it now. Sanders is going to be better than Bont.
Which is just such a dumb thing to say.
I know, but it's fun to be dumb. This is the time of year to be dumb.
I tell you what, I must say, the pulled up socks, and he clearly can run, and the fact that he got 30 touches, which again, people will be like, oh, well, it was preseason, including me, in terms of like, it's not something to write home about. Getting 30 touches at AFL level is always hard.
What was your record of touches?
Probably 23 or 24.
Wow.
Against 22 maybe.
Is that
against
the prelim?
No, God, no. I didn't have that many touches. I had a lot of like hit outs and tackles. And hit outs, punches, not touches. Shoulders. No.
Oh, what? That's ridiculous.
I had a lot of touches against Geelong a couple of times. That was about as good as it got for me. We lost those games.
That's right. That's a little nugget of the storyline I always forget. Tom Boyd doesn't hate Geelong because he always played well against them, but you never beat them.
No. No. Here we go. Some serious. Anyway. I like playing them because of the ground. The ground was always good. But like 30 touches, you feel like the ball's on a string.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. Never got it in my career. Even in juniors, I wouldn't have got it. No way.
He's just got such vision. And he looks like the way he plays looks like he's been playing for a decade. And he just can read the game so well.
Well, what you're saying is he looks like he could run around in the previous decade. Like when he was running around with the Jonos and all those blokes who had their socks up, he would have fit right in.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I did text you. I go and tell you, he tucks his Guernsey in and pulls the socks up. And that's only because there's an old guy at my gym who I'd said, mate, have a look at Riley Sanders. He's going to be amazing. And he said, wow, I like the way he dresses. Yeah. I like the way he dresses.
What did I say? Because I
texted you and said, what does this mean? And you said, it means his dad played footy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, old school football. Like, it's good. It's a good thing. You know what? I almost guarantee, and maybe we should ask him, he knows what dubbin is.
Yes.
He would know what dubbin is.
I'll give you another behind the scenes thing. On the day we recorded our first ever episode of the Danny Boyd podcast, you texted me saying it was something like, do your stretches and get the dubbin out. We're on.
Yeah, yeah. And you had no idea.
I have no idea. I pretended I did, but no. Is dubbin like an ointment that you put on the leather?
You put on the leather.
Oh, yeah. I do know.
It's a waterproofing, I think it's like for tables or something like that. Like,
does it smell of eucalyptus?
Yeah. Oh, it's like a really, really strong chemically, like turpentine smellish.
Yes, I know it. I know it.
And my dad, we used to have it. It was always in the same spot. It was in these like flat orange jars, tins, probably more accurate, not jars. And we used to have a very, very stiff and aggressive wire brush. And so what you do is you use the brush and you get all the mud off, and then because you can't wet the leather because you need to wear it in a few days' time. So you've got to sort of get all the dirt off. Then you wipe it clean with a rag, and then you dubbin it clean. You dubbin all the spots that need sort of protection, and then you use a rag to sort of spread it all out, and then they sit there smelling amazing, pristine in the corner. I gave up on it. I just started getting free boots. So I was like, Dad, it won't matter. I promise.
I think a commentator pointed out Riley Sanders wore plain black boots.
That's part of the look, though.
Oh, right. This is the thing.
See, this is the thing, right? Which is, we're in the era now of people shamelessly adulterating previous looks for fashion.
Yeah. That's been going on for
overalls have come back in.
They really have.
Not because they're fashionable, not because they're useful in today.
These are people aren't doing a reference to Dexy's Midnight Runners.
No, they don't need to
Do you know them? Fair enough. That's fair enough. You are correct.
They don't have to like wander through the grass in the farm field like people who used to wear. But they have just commandeered it, and now they're up in Brunswick, you know, doing whatever people in Brunswick do.
Because of Super Mario?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, I would have very much hoped, my honest opinion and hope is Riley Sanders is an old school footballer.
Yeah.
That's what I want, because that means two things. It means he loves football, which means he'll not get too caught up in all the rubbish that happens. Optimistic. It is 2024 and he was probably born in 2005 or something or whatever it is.
Yes. Yep. Let's look. 2006 maybe.
Terrifying thought.
Yes.
And he also is the old school footballer in the, like, I just play to win. And I'll just play the football game without thinking too much and getting things overcomplicated. I just get the ball. I see the ball. I get the ball. And I kick the ball to our team. That'd
be
nice.
Like Bond does.
Nah, Bond's probably a little bit like the next echelon up, where Bond is like super new age and all of his, like, his recovery is massive. His technical work on his game is massive. Like, he's the ultimate professional.
Yeah.
I'd put him more in the Petrarca and him are sort of similar, and like, except that Christian obviously posts it all on Instagram.
And Bont's so secure, he doesn't need to.
Well, I don't know. Christian's, like, they seem like those accounts are going pretty good to me. So maybe Bont should have. But Riley Sanders, I don't want to see him posting that stuff on Instagram. I want to see him getting the ball, kicking the ball, and, you know, tackling people.
Mate, you are going to be seeing that because he's...
Yeah,
he's,
it does look like...
Because you also, before... I mean, I've loved him since 3 seconds into that practice game.
I bet.
But you heard... You texted me over the summer that, we got a good one.
Yeah.
Where did you hear that?
I can't remember. But one of the players who's at the Dogs still... And, like, this is the thing. It takes about, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's usually when they first get out. So when a new draftee comes to the club, they don't train, typically speaking, a full first week, because they sort of like do some testing around like how's their body and all that stuff and flexibility. And the other players have typically been training for at least, well, in our case this year, because we didn't make finals, like 5 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like getting them on board. And usually, in my experience, there's usually a week or 10 days before Christmas where they start getting rolled out, and you know straight away whether they're up to it. Richards straight away knew straight away that he was fast, that he had something that no one else had. Straight away, Aaron Norton could catch. He was taking marks all over the field. Straight away, Bont's been great. I mean, Jake Stringer during his best season in 2015, which would have only been his second year, third year, dominated preseason straight away. Wow. And so even for players coming back, you know if they're going to have a good year for the most part, unless they're injured, and then, you know, it depends.
Mind you, if you listen to Essendon Media, Jake Stringer is the king of preseason. He's always training the house.
Yeah, but see, there's a difference between kicking goals and like Jake was fit and dominating in 2015.
We got
and
the best of him.
2016, like my best preseason, like when I looked the best in preseason was 2016. It was probably my best year.
What happened that year?
Well, I don't know, but I did my shoulder a lot of times.
All right, so, okay, man, I'm just so excited about Riley Sanders. Get on board. Maybe his nickname could be Dubbin.
It could be. We need to ask him.
Well, yeah. I mean, do players get... You don't get to choose your own nickname, though.
Mm.
Well...
You earn it.
We've got
Musk. Put it this way. If he has a couple of tins of Dubbin in his locker, they'll call him Dubbin.
Okay.
Or some version of it, you know?
Oh, so do even AFL players have Dubbin?
I don't know. I've never saw anyone, really. Nah. I think it's the kind of thing you have at home, or you get the property guy to do, but we sort of didn't have... Like, at some of the big clubs, they have property people who just, like, clean all your boots and do all that stuff for you. Wow. That wasn't really what happened to the Dogs.
No. Nah.
We didn't have, like, 17 employees in there, all volunteering their time.
I would have said this on the pod a few times, but one of my favourite memories of... It would have been just before you were born, Tom, early 90s, when memberships became a big thing and there was ads on TV saying, you know, join Carlton, call 00556394281, you know, that sort of thing. But then it would be the Footscray one, and it would be like, call 9537 after 6 p.m, ask for Dave.
Yeah, we only had a very – the cheapest possible slot at the phone centre was for us.
Yes.
Well, in my time, they got us to call people as players. That's how well we were going. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'd be excited by that. Anyway, someone else I want to give a shout-out to is our president, Kylie Watson-Wheeler, who, from all accounts, is taken a much more hands-on role in the off-season. Which is so – she came into the role 2021. Straight away, we make it to a grand final. Good
start. Yep. It was a bit of a weird year, but yes.
Yes. Start. Well, do you know what she had to do? I saw her just before Christmas, and she was able to go to that grand final because she was the president, but had to do 2 weeks in isolation, and then coming back to Victoria had to do two. So she was alone in a hotel room for a month just to watch the worst football game of all time.
Yeah, and she has a pretty important job too. So
yes.
It wasn't like she just – and it was a very, very challenging time at that stage for Disney, so –
So managing director of Disney, in case you don't know, Disney for the Southern Hemisphere, I believe. She's
something like that.
I
think it's OzPac or something like that.
I messaged her the other day and she said, I just saw Kathleen Kennedy, who, you know, the lady in charge of Disney Star Wars and MCU, and they're just hanging out.
Yep. Did she provide any feedback back to them that you keep giving her or...?
So all the Star Wars films. Danny goes,
can you... I mean, we need to talk about something, Kylie. And she's like, here we go. You watch her brain just go, Danny, I'm not saying anything on your behalf. You reckon you're the only one?
We just need to remake The Last Jedi and probably the last... Anyway, that's a wrap. Actually, no, Kylie is very much in my good books because my daughter is really into this somewhat obscure Disney movie called The Descendants. Have you ever heard of The Descendants?
Is it all the owls or something?
No, that's The Guardians.
Okay, right.
The Descendants is a tween movie where the descendants of all the Disney heroes, so like Maleficent's daughter, Beauty and the Beast's son, Aladdin and
Jasmine's
kids, they all go to a high school together. There's the villains and the heroes, and they're like the cool kids and the weird kids, and it's all from the sort of the villain's point of view. And my daughter loves it. It's her favorite. There's heaps of music and stuff. It wasn't really a hit here, but my daughter loves it so much. I messaged Kylie just going, hey, did they ever make any toys for this film that I could give to my daughter for Christmas? She goes, leave it with me. They don't. I Googled and I searched. They did not make toys.
I hope so, before you went to the managing director.
Then she goes, yeah, I got one. And like, there's only maybe three in the world. And she got it for my daughter. I'm like, oh, how much are you? No, nothing. For free. Wow. She is... So wonderful.
She's got people.
She has got people. And got people. Just genuinely everyone, just in case, like, action is character, she is for real. She is a great person who will get stuff done. Now, no one else hassle her for obscure toys. This is my... If I told this story, she's going to get...
A few requests pop up. Hey, Kylie, can you please get the original Lion King line?
Do you have Jabba the Hutt in the Phantom Menace outfit that he was wearing?
She is great, and we are very, very optimistic, and we will talk to her again this year, I'm very confident. So hopefully with some better news. We didn't talk to her at the best time of year last year. We were optimistic about how things were going to go, but it wasn't really like in the height of domination that we spoke to her.
No, but she's taken a much more active role. Like, she sort of was hands off for a bit. She didn't want to be the new president who comes in and it's all, you know, Eddie Maguire about it, for want of a better term.
Well, presidents should be strong, but they shouldn't be... in-depth involved for the most part, unless when they're needed.
Yes, and I think
that's what she said, though, right? She said when she was needed, she was going to step up, and she certainly seems to have stepped up. So
yes,
kudos to Kylie. But I think we should finish, given we've been cracking away here for quite a bit of time, we should finish with some very, very important things around predictions for the year, because we haven't actually shared those.
Well, hang on. One last person we need to talk about before we get into that is we got a new AFLW coach.
We did.
And there was rumours we were going to get... Danny Laidley, but who's the other one?
Previous coach,
Nathan Burke.
No.
Beck Goddard.
No.
The
one we want to flag with.
Paul.
Paul Groves.
Paul Groves.
Sorry,
coming
Paul.
Back.
I do know Paul.
I didn't hear that.
There was rumours going around that he might be in the mix.
Okay. Well, it hasn't happened. Tamara Hyatt, came over from the Demons. I did ask Beck Goddard, who is a friend of mine, you know, if you don't know, you know, won the first AFLW premiership with the Crows. She was coaching Hawthorn until last year. She's a ripping human. I asked her what's her like, and she said she's got a golf coaching background.
What's she like?
I'm a professional broadcaster. I asked what they are like. No, that makes sense. Anyway, golf coaching background should be good. People management-wise, we'll need an experienced football assistant coach around her. And I've suggested that Beck Goddard, you know, would be an experienced football
coach. Interesting, doesn't it? Like an interesting choice.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll learn more. I mean, imagine there'll be some media at some stage with her along the journey.
And we also got a sweet number one draft pick.
We did. I met years and years ago.
Oh, really?
And she told me when she was 14 she was going to pick one.
Oh, really?
Yep.
She told you.
Yep.
I love this confidence. Her name's Christy Lee Weston Turner.
Blonde hair.
KLWT.
Yep.
Yeah, blonde hair.
I met her ages ago.
Right. Oh,
so very optimistic that she'll have a fantastic career. And we'll know soon enough. You know, like these things will start kicking off before we know it. And we'll be thinking about what's going to happen next.
We also got Brooke Barwick at pick 4 and Elaine Grigg at pick 6. I'm excited. But yes, what's the final predictions that you want to make?
Well, I think we should cover off ladder position.
Okay.
Best and fairest.
Oh, yeah.
Best votes of the Brownlow. That'll be tough.
Yeah. No, I think I've got the same answer for both of them.
Yeah, there's two done.
I think we kind of have to do this without Bond.
Yeah, maybe we do it with and without Bond. So, and maybe we do a high and a low for the ladder position.
Okay, yeah.
With high being the far more likely outcome.
You'd hope so. Yeah. All right. Do you have yours ready?
I think so. Okay. I'm just going to wing it, but I've had a little bit of a thought.
You go first.
Well, I think our high position will be, I think, fifth. I don't think we're not going to make the top four. I don't think we have quite enough. I don't know enough to be confident enough. And I think there's too many good teams up there at the moment. Like, mm-hmm. you got to think about knocking someone out a little bit too.
Yeah, there are far too many good teams in the AFL at the moment.
Five means we win, 13 or 14 games. That's good fun watching 13 or 14 wins for the year.
It is true.
The low, I would say, we're not going to finish 15th, I don't think. But we could finish 10th. I think we'll finish in that bracket. I think that's where we'll, and that'll be like the difference. If we win 10 games, we win 14. That's basically the bracket. That, okay. I think. That makes sense to me. And again, this could change drastically in the first 3 or 4 rounds, depending on how we go, obviously. And we're going to find out a lot in the next 10 days.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to be very different to what we found out against the first 7 times we played Hawthorn.
Well, it's 12. We're recording this, releasing this on Tuesday, the 5th of March. Our first game is on the 17th of March. 12 days to go.
Yeah.
It is exciting. So my predictions would be, I reckon, because lid's off for me. I'm really enjoying
it. I don't know what that means at this stage. I know what it means, but I don't know why you got the lid off.
Because I watched Riley Sanders, the Colonel, Dubbin. Colonel Dubbin.
Colonel Dubbin.
I can see it. See, you don't want to come first. Your teams seldom win it from first, even though Collingwood did it last year.
It's true.
So let's go third. So we have to play our first final away. Just to add to the story, because we always do better when we play interstate finals first. So third is our top. Bottom, yeah, I'm a bit more extreme than you. I could see us 14th as our lowest. I could see things really going badly. Yeah, and dropping our heads and everything.
14th is 8 wins, 7?
5.
Tell you what.
Man, this is what it's like living in my head. Things are either amazing, you know, or hellish.
We're going to do a lot of character pieces this year if we win 5 games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you're hearing a lot of...
Have you heard about what he's doing off the field?
We got to get Dom Bendendo. I've read about his life story.
Yes, very interesting. Anyway.
Fans, you're going to love
it. On-air meeting.
Yes. best and fairest with Bond. I'm going to go with Bond.
Mm.
You?
Yeah, same.
Without Bond.
Libba.
Riley Sanders.
Wow. First year.
No.
It's not impossible. He's a midfielder.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is it best and fairest are more a midfielder's sort of...
It's just hard to play, have enough impact in other positions every week to get the votes. It's the difference between good and bad. That's why.
Yeah. Jamara. Best and fairest.
Oh, it'd be paying astronomical odds.
Yeah, well...
Got to be in it to win it.
If Jamara's our best and fairest, mate.
Oh, we win flags.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Buddy.
That's what we go with. Hell yeah. Buddy. Don't say Buddy when we're talking about Jamara. The Swans are going to offer him like half of Clovelly to get him in.
Well, the half of it's a cemetery.
Yeah, well.
What's he want to do, live in a cemetery? Or the other half? That's a good one, isn't it? I think Libba's in for another strong year. I just can't. Yes. And I am both terrified and excited by the fact that our best players included Treloar, Libba, and Bont.
Look, yeah, you can be very negative about that and go, well, no one else stood up. Or you could just say, maybe they are so dominant.
They are. They are so dominant. Yeah. But they're just not as young as they used to be.
Yeah.
And we know that even when they were dominant, we didn't win that many games last year. Like I said, I'm excited and both excited and terrified.
What about leading goal kicker, Norton or Jamara?
Mm. Yeah, I think Norty will get it again. I don't know. I really would hope if Jamara does again, those two in tandem together.
At what round will Tim English re-sign and Jamara re-sign?
Oh my God. Is it Jamara needs to re-sign this year?
I think so, yeah.
Now, Jamara's not a free agent, though.
So all right.
That helps us.
Good.
He's too young to be a free agent.
Yeah.
Geez, Tim's probably just working out which four suburbs of Western Australia they want to give him.
They're giving him the super pit.
Oh, but his partner's back here, is what I saw the other day, I think.
Oh, okay. Wait, wasn't she in Queensland?
Yeah, but I think she's back in Victoria.
Good. She's a very attractive woman.
She's tall.
She's an Amazon. She should play Wonder Woman.
She, both her and Tim I saw at the supermarket not that long ago, and they are so tall.
Yes.
Both so tall.
Yeah.
I would say Tim's going to re-sign because I don't know what plan B is. He has to re-sign.
That's the first time I've seen panic in your eyes.
No offense, like Rory and Sam aren't going to work it out in the next 12 months.
Oh, Sam's looking good though.
Yeah, but to carry the full ruckload for a full
year. Well, I don't know. We've had Tim carrying for so long and maybe we are just the club that has children doing the heavy ruck work.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Is there any other awards that could be?
Best first year player. I think Riley's obviously playing at $1. What about comeback player of the year?
Oh. So someone who had a quiet
year last year. Everyone who was on that list.
Yeah. I don't know. Just
I think like Jacko might.
Yeah, McRae is who.
Jacko's probably the one that I'm thinking.
He copped a bit of flack from the media and the coaching panels and the team, from what we heard.
And everyone else.
Yeah, so it'd be great.
He's married now.
Man, if he wins our best and fairest, that's almost as good as Jamara.
Well, I don't know. If Jacko wins our best and fairest, it's as happy as I would be for Jack. I think it's probably indicative that a few things went wrong.
All right. What if, final question, that just because I can't think of any others, but I am enjoying this crystal ball gazing. What if we win one game by over 100 points, which game do you want it to be?
Which game do I want it to be?
Yeah.
Obviously, round one against Melbourne.
Yeah, okay. Great answer. Oh, yeah. 06, we won by over 100. All right. And in that similar vein, do you know the Bulldogs have never, not since the 70s, have we won a game with a kick after the siren?
Mm.
My whole life, it's never happened. Your whole life, it's never happened.
Yeah. I mean, I keep telling people that I kicked the winning goal of the grand final from 90 metres out with a second to go.
But the siren hadn't gone.
No, it's true. And it also is not true. So.
Yeah, it also.
But, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Damn straight.
Mate,
I tell people I played in that grand final.
Delete all footage of the clock and the score.
So if we finally win a game with a kick after the siren, what would you like it to be?
I don't know.
We do play the Giants up there. I mean,
I don't care about them anymore.
Collingwood?
No. What about, I don't want to be too greedy here. I think it's to make finals.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
I like that. I like the opposition being us.
So that's final round against Giants?
It has to be, I think.
And that's in Ballarat. So
I mean, the crowd will go wild. All 75 of them. Yeah. Oh, they can fit a few thousand up there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think, as I said, I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic.
You can't be anything else at this stage. Like, I mean, it's fun to be lit off idiot that I am, but if we're being realistic.
It's because we got 12 days.
Got 12 days to just dream. And then all it'll take is, the Demons to score the first goal. And I'll be like, all right, sack everyone. Burn the club down.
Anyway, predictions for round one. We obviously will have another episode between now and then of some description. We might even do a Patreon and a preview for the game.
We are. We're in talk. There's also a new media manager at the Bulldogs, Patrick Horan, who used to work for The Age as an arts writer.
Yeah. He didn't get the pleasure of reviewing Danny, but unfortunately.
He was also at Cricket Australia. He's a proper Irishman. He's a lovely guy. And he's promised to help us get some players. We are in talks. I asked for Bont, and he goes, unsurprisingly, Bont's in high demand. Would you like our new vice captain? I went, oh, heck yes. And so that might be happening.
Yeah. I think it'll, as I said to Danny off air the other day, I think it'll evolve over the year. We want to We're a safe place for the Bulldogs. We want to be a place that supports the players and gets into who they are as people as much as, you know, yep. how they're going on the field. A combination of both, of course, because we know the fans want to hear about the why, what, where, when and how we're going to be good.
Yeah. We'll offer opinions, but we're both intrinsically optimistic guys.
I did a podcast yesterday, and the biggest thing about being a footballer is that for many fans, you're just a 2D figure on the screen.
Yes.
And we want to give a bit of depth. But having said that, we also understand that you're paying as members and fans and people who support the club to go and watch your team play well, and you want to know if they're going to do that.
Yes.
So I appreciate both more now than I ever have.
And if you want to find out, we are a bit more opinionated on the Patreon. So if you want to get, it's only $5 a month. You can give us more and you'll get some prizes and some even sweeter
merch.
You pay enough, we'll mow your lawn.
It's true.
Do get involved. Because that also helps us, you know, pay, you know, feed our kids and,
yep. And pay for the registration fees and the time that we get and all of that stuff. We're not begging for money by any stretch of the imagination. But again, there's some really great value on the Patreon that you should jump on board for. And we will talk and engage with you there much, much more than we possibly can with the swaths of people on the public episodes.
And you will get free tickets to our live event, which there will be at least one this year. More details to be announced soon.
And all of its context, because if we have a great year, there'll be less need for live events. If we have a terrible year, we'll let us live back in the past. Maybe we can do an educational one, Danny, where you teach me of the previous good years the Bulldogs had.
Should do a viewing of Diamond Dogs, the 1992 season review.
Here we go.
Okay. Now we're talking. Okay.
Go Dogs. I think we're in for a half decent year. Probably a good one.
It's going to be great. Lids off.
I gave my childhood to that roll of the red, white and blue sea, and the knowledge that you had to love the Bulldog boys and me. 20 years on, I feel that longing hanging in September air. But the reason I go every week is to pretend you're still there. And they will find the glory one day, and I will throw it at your feet. It's a long, long road they're running for you, the Dogs of Footscray Street. Long, long road they're running for you, the Dogs of Footscray Streets.